following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 12th, 2018.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a weekend here in Sonoma County with these fires. My goodness, the air has just been awful. And I just want to send out condolences to all the people in Northern and Southern California that are suffering because of these fires. You know, it's really interesting to me talking about global warming and all that other stuff. One person says it is happening. Another person says it's not. It doesn't matter. We have got to figure a way to look at these things and be a little bit more prepared. I mean, it's just really, really sad. Anyway, I have two special guests with me this morning. Joining me on the phone will be Shakina Black, who is the coordinator of the Peace and Justice Center. She'll be giving us an update on some of the activities happening at the Peace and Justice Center, and to talk about their annual winter blast happening on Saturday, November 17th. Boy, that's going to be a fun thing. Also joining me on the phone will be Jennifer Sullivan, who is a lifelong feminist activist and is currently a delegate to the Green Party of the United States for the Women's Caucus. And that should be a real interesting conversation. Well, today is Veterans Day, and it's a public holiday held on the anniversary of the end of World War I, November 11th, that was yesterday, to honor U.S. veterans and victims of all wars. It replaced what was known as Armistice Day in 1954, which I thought was kind of interesting. In fact, right now there is Veterans for Peace, I understand, are trying to change the name to Armistice Day. And also one of the things that I found interesting about Veterans Day that I hold personally dear and here to my heart is the red poppy, which is a national symbol of sacrifice and remembrance of those lost to the savages of war since 1919, when Armistice Day, now called Veterans Day, was first established on November 11th, the day, like I said, World War I formally ended, which was the year before, actually 1918, and then 1919, they declared Armistice Day November 11th. And it's really interesting, as a little girl, I used to help my Uncle Benny Judman, who I suddenly realized was a soldier in World War I, and I helped him with fundraising for veterans. I want to talk a little bit about the name of Veterans Day. Originally, Veterans Day was called Armistice Day, which was the day that World War I ended. And it was called the War to End All Wars. And again, a reminder, it was to remind us all of the horrors of wars. And from what I heard, the Veterans for Peace want this day to go back to the original meaning. And I think that would be a great, great debate, to be honest with you. You know, Armistice Day, because it reminds us the day of peace, that peace came forward. It's an interesting way to look at it. And also, I want to honor the veterans in my life and Ken's life. Ken's father, Donald Norton, and his uncle, Jerry Norton, they served in World War II. From my family, in researching this day, like I said, I realized that my uncle, Benny Judman, served in World War I. Amazing, amazing. And we used to do fundraisers every year. I think at one point I was a poster child, like someone who sold the most poppies, I think, one year with my uncle. Also, I had two uncles, my uncle Nathan and Robert Dorfman. They also served in World War II. And my uncle Nathan, we called him Nunny. He was really interesting. He would never talk about the war. And one day I asked him, I says, Uncle Nunny, you know, what was the war like? And he just looked at me very seriously and he says, Elaine, all I can say is any man who's been on the battlefield will never send his son. Well, can't say that's true for all men, but I'll tell you, my uncle really expressed that. So happy Veterans Day, happy Armistice Day to all the vets out there. Thank you for your service. I know, you know, with all the stuff coming out about PTSD and some of the cutting of funds. I mean, there's so much going on around veterans, but, you know, most of the young men that join, they have an idealism about them. They think they're really serving their country and making sure that we have freedom. And it's kind of interesting when you come down to think about it. Well, Ken and I attended the monthly radical discussion group called Unshackled, facilitated by Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence, an African-American woman who believes the key to unshackling all of us from racism is through open, honest, and respectable dialogue. It was an eye-opening experience being there and listening to the different ideas and opinion. Jacqueline advises me that they'll be meeting the second Wednesday of the month at the Arlene Francis. They'll be meeting next month. I believe the second Wednesday is December 7th. It's not an easy topic. But what made it easier for me was the realization that I was not alone in my desire to come together as a community, get to know one another, and hopefully heal the damage that occurred because of racism. You know, it's a hard subject to talk about, but I have to say Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence really did a stellar job. Ken and I went, and the discussion was fascinating. It really was, listening to all the different ideas people have, the different fears we have of one another, and just having this dialogue, I think, is the beginning to understand each and every one of us and what part we play in this horrific idea of racism. I mean, we're just one race. That's what's so interesting. I'm going to be playing a song at our break called Let There Be Love. And one of the things, from a play by a Native American by the name of Nanya Hay, and who was American name was Nancy Ward. And one of the lines in there was, because there were different wars going on between the Europeans and the Native Americans. And one of the lines in her song is, "The white man's heart beats like ours. When will we understand? When will they understand? You know, when will we all understand that we're just part of a human species? We're part of a group of human beings. And the only difference is maybe our outer, the color, you know, the color of our skin or the shape of our eyes or all these different things that happen. But the bottom line is we're just people trying to get along, trying to live on this planet, our Mother Earth. And, you know, sometimes I think in the back of my head, when I think of all these fires and earthquakes and tornadoes that are going on, I say to myself, maybe Mother Earth is saying, hey, you guys, you better behave yourself. I don't like being hurt the way you're hurting me, and I'm going to hurt you a little bit. I mean, it's just something to think about. You know, and also when you look at these fires, it's just like a war zone. And I'm wondering, is this to teach us the lesson that war is not the answer? I mean, there's all kinds of implication in what's happening. And the tragedy is so many are losing so much. And one of the things that we're losing as a species is we're starting to lose our Earth. And we better pay attention to that. Well, I want to remind everybody this evening at the Central Library in Santa Rosa, I had them on the air last week. Verity, our Rape Crisis Center, is doing a workshop on how to talk to your children about consent and sexual violence. It's a perfect topic for today's world. And like I said, I interviewed them last week. The facilitators of this particular workshop is going to be Caitlin Quinn and Zach Neely. And I highly recommend that people attend this. I found it very interesting just listening to them and seeing how they would facilitate this and some of the information that they would be giving. It's a very difficult subject, talking to your children about consent and also about sexual violence. I remember when I had to sit down and had a discussion with my daughter way back when, it was very difficult for me, and I consider myself somewhat of an open-minded person. At the same time, it was a very sensitive subject. So as parents, I know we all need help. And we all need help just to think about it and just to be able to talk about it. So that's going to be this evening, November 12th, from 7 to 8:30 at the Main Library in downtown Santa Rosa at 211 East Street. And, you know, we all need a little bit of help in this in this area. Well, there's a lot to think about, you know, a lot to discuss. And I want to explain something a little bit about what happened last week. I had the Pumpkin Fairy on, and I'm going to have her on again sometime this month, too, to give us a Thanksgiving blessing. And the idea was to bring her on and just to have her just give us a general blessing and wish everybody good times and a good heart during these holiday seasons. Holiday seasons, these are the hard times, you know. That's hard. I know this year we're going to be merging three families together, you know, and it's kind of exciting. It's 35 people at our table, which is wonderful. You know, we're bringing families together, and that's the idea around Thanksgiving and around this month. I have decided to declare November my month of gratitude. That every day I get up in the morning and I thank the great spirit, I thank the higher power, the great mystery, whatever you want to call it, for this life, for this, my beautiful children, grandchildren, for my beautiful relationship with Ken, and all the things that, you know, all the things we have to be grateful for. And the most important thing is that when we get up in the morning and open our eyes, hey, we've got another day to live, another day to enjoy life, another day to give, another day to receive. So that's what I've decided to do for November. Let's make it a Thanksgiving month, that we're giving thanks for all that we have. And I know there's so many different ideas around Thanksgiving, but the most important thing is just be thankful for a moment. You know, look around you sometimes. You know, I know for myself, sometimes I get very depressed over what's happening, and the way I come out of it is just to say, thank you, Great Spirit. Thank you that Ken is sitting next to me and helping me with this show and all the beautiful, beautiful things that come into our life. And the fact that I've made it to 78 years old. I mean, there's so much to be grateful for. I don't mean to go overboard, but sometimes with all the stuff that's going on in the world, we forget some of the good that we actually have. Well, we're going to take a new musical break, and the song I will be playing is Let There Be Love, and it's one of my favorite singers, Becky Hobbs. In fact, I'm going to play two songs by her today. And just pay attention to the lyrics of the song. She's writing about her fifth generation great-grandmother, Nahia Hay. Nancy Ward is her American name. And there's that one line, it comes towards the end when she says, the white man's heart beat like ours. When will they understand? And when I come back, I will be talking with Chiquina Black from the Peace and Justice Center. She'll be giving us an update on some of the activities happening there and also talk about their winter blast, which sounds like a real blast, to be honest with you. So let's go ahead and listen to Becky Hobbs, Let There Be Love.
Was born in a field of corn, in the land of the Cherokee. I did my chores, but I knew there was more than my eyes could see. I married young, he was brave and strong, but he died. Took his place, but I vowed someday that we would live in peace. Let there be peace, let there be love, let life fly free as the morning dove. Let every heart hear this song I sing. Let there let there be peace. The war's raged on to the warrior's song, but a change whispered through the wind. The white man's heart beats the same as ours. When will we understand? Children died and the white wolf cried, all ye people, lay down your guns. time to lead our hearts to peace, that we may live as one. Let there be peace, let there be love, let life fly free as the morning dove. Let every heart hear the song I sing. Let there be love, let there be peace.
Just love that song. I mean, it just brings tears to my eyes every time I listen to it. I love that when she says, the white wolf cried, the children die, and the white wolf cries, put down ye your guns. You know, there's a lot of killing going on, and we need to start looking at that, looking at what is inside of us that helps to create all this. It's just amazing to me. For you just joining me, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest. Joining me on the phone is one of my dear friends, Shekinah Black. Welcome, Shekinah. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today. And thank you for playing that beautiful song, Let There Be Love, Let There Be Peace. I really hope that can be our overriding theme.
I know, it's such an amazing song. You know, this song comes from an album called Nyahe, Beloved Woman of the Cherokee, and her American name is Nancy Ward. And it's just such a beautiful song. I love the line, you know, the white man's heart beats the same as ours, when will they understand? I mean, that just blows me away.
Truly.
Well, listen, Shekinah, before we start, I'd like to tell my listeners just a wee bit about you. Because we're just going to be talking a little bit about the event that's coming up, the Peace and Justice Center. And the reason that this event is so important, because it's a fun event, you know. I want to talk about that couch that runs around. Anyway, Shekinah Black has been the center coordinator of the Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County for the past 3 years. She is the CEO of Miracle Production, that produces bands, concert festivals, and events. And she's also Director of Entertainment for the publication Upbeat Time. And she is a proud mother of 4 adult kids. Anything else you'd like to add, Shekinah?
Well, that really covers it, Elaine. Thank you for that introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you, you know. You know, and tell us a little bit, what's new at the center? Folks really worked hard getting folks to vote, and the Democrats took back the House, and all those women across the country who won. You know, what? Any thoughts on that, and what was going on at the center during that time?
Well, I think definitely at the center we were encouraging people to vote, just really emphasizing how important it is to use that right and a privilege, and I think people really need to take it seriously. So this time, 47% of American eligible voters came out for the midterms, and that's actually a record. The last time was in 1966, 49%. So now we have 47% people voted. So that is really encouraging. And then, like you said, all the women, you know, 100 women in the House, and that's a new record as well. It's really an exciting time and a hopeful time, even though there's so much despair in the world. I feel like we're inching our way going towards the right direction, being more inclusive. And that includes, you know, the two Native American women who were elected to Congress, two Muslim American women, one who's a Somali refugee elected, and also from Kansas, the first openly LGBT member of Congress with Sharice Davis. So it's just really encouraging to me that people are taking that vote seriously and that it does really make a difference. Your voice is your vote. People need to really understand it does matter.
And also what's going on in Georgia with Stacey Abrams. I mean, just a loud shout-out for her. The woman is standing up and saying, I am not doing anything until every vote is counted.
Exactly right. That's just great. And all, in Florida, too, they're doing a recount. You know, I think that whole system of how we vote and what's going on with the machinery so we can vote, you know, that seems to be problematic, and we need to fix it.
Well, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, the Peace and Justice Center. What is their kind of their philosophy, their mission statement, and what anything new going on, anything that you've added? I know for a while you were looking for board members. Was that taken care of?
Actually, we are looking for board members once again, so people could certainly contact me there at the Peace and Justice Center and find out what that entails. And it's actually really good way to do some civil service for your community. So that's happening. Of course, we're putting together the new issue of the Sonoma County Peace Press, which comes out every other month. So the December-January issue will hit the stands, as it were, around the beginning of December. So people can always write articles and submit them to me there, and then I'll get them to the Peace Press Collective. So anything on peace and social justice issues, if you're an aspiring writer or you've been writing for a long time and just want to get your thoughts out there, please think about writing for the Peace and the Peace Press. You know, it's really important.
Well, you know, there's a lot of angry people out there, and I always like to look at words. And the first letter in angry is A. Take action. I mean, volunteer, become a member, maybe of the board. You know, even here at KBBF, we're always looking for volunteers. You can be trained to the radio, and of course, the most important thing is support your local community radio station here. Well, let's get into a little bit about the Winter Blast. You know, give a little bit of history about that. You know, and it sounds like a real fun event. What's the idea, and how many years have you been doing this now?
This will be the 14th annual year, and
wow.
It takes place in the SOFA district in, you know, south of A is what that acronym is, over by Juilliard Park, and it's just really a free, family friendly fun event for the whole community. You know, so I really encourage people to get out there. It happens rain or shine, and unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're going to get rain anytime soon. So do come out, you know, people, and bring your families and your friends, and just plan on having a good time and celebrating together, even though there's so much despair, once again, to use that word. But I you talked about it, and, you know, with your family gathering over the holidays, I think it's really, really important that people connect in person, not just on digital means, you know, that we need to look people in the eye and smile at people. Really, it's just like basic human kindness needs to be back in vogue.
I know it seems like we live so far apart, even from our families. Everything seems so scattered and so impersonal lately. I was on the phone trying to get a situation straightened out with one of my bills, and I couldn't believe it. Everything was a recording. I mean, you know, you get so frustrated, you can't tell a human being, you know, something's wrong, and it's just amazing. We do need that contact. Well, you know, on the Winter Blast, you know, one of the things that I always notice is they've got this couch running around. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, I don't know, what is that all about?
What is that about? That's their SOFA. So that's taking that acronym for South of A. It became SOFA. So people will decorate their sofas. Businesses and individuals are welcome to participate. And then when there are two sofa parades that night, so one is at 6 o'clock and one is at 8 o'clock, and people really get dressed up and join in the parade, you know, so you can be a participant on the sideline and encouraging all the people in the parade, and then also walk along with the people who are pushing the sofas. They are usually man-powered. Sometimes people do remote control, but no gas-powered, nothing like that. It's just really fun. It's kind of silly.
Wait a minute, Chiquina, did you say they have a sofa race?
Well, it's a parade.
Oh, a sofa parade.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yes, so there's two of them, one at 6 o'clock and one at 8 o'clock in the community. And that goes, so there's two streets involved that, you know, for Winter Blast, which is South A and also Sebastopol Avenue. Sebastopol Avenue, not road, people. So, you know, that's over by Juilliard Park. So it's like an L section that the parade route becomes, you know, on the two streets. And the whole festivities for Winter Blast takes place in that community.
Well, any special guests, any special music or anything?
Yes, absolutely. So with that event, there's always street performers, live music, food vendors, all the galleries, because it is the arts district. The galleries will be open late that night. And so for the Peace and Justice Center, we are the nonprofit sponsor of Winter Blast, and that's been happening for the last 3 years. And so in our parking lot, we will have a great band called the Dream Farmers, who are just really fun, conscious music, but just really fun to be around people. So you want to come and hang out there and dance in our parking lot. Also, KBBF's very own DJ Broken Record will be playing as well in our parking lot. So that's
Edgar, as far as I'm concerned, is a primo DJ. I love when he DJs. He's just amazing.
Right.
I didn't even know that.
Yep, so he gets people out there dancing. And then, so that's particular to what's happening at the Peace and Justice Center. I know Atlas Coffee will be having another band, and I think there'll be another band elsewhere on the, you know, in the area, and also some other DJs, and including, there's this, I don't know, thing called the Whiskey Drome, where bikes ride around. It's a circular wooden construction, and they bring it out. It's very close, actually right outside of the Peace and Justice Center. And this year, they're going to actually have a band playing in the Whiskey Drome while the bikes are riding around. So they'll do two sets, two 15-minute sets. That band will be happening that night. So that's, like, really exciting and a new element. The Whiskey Drome is typically involved with Winter Blast, but this is the first time that the band will be in the Whiskey Drome itself. So pretty exciting. You know, it's just, once again, it's a family-friendly, free event for the whole community. So you just come out, you know, just come out and meet your neighbors and say hello to people.
So it's important to know that it's a free event, and it's happening on this Saturday, right? November 17th.
That's right.
Any last words? Chiquina, we're coming to the end of the segment. Any last words, websites, or anything that you'd like to give?
Yes. So the time of the event is from 5 to 9:30 on Saturday the 17th, and two websites for you. So one is the Peace and Justice website, pjcfoco.org. And to find out more about the Winter Blast, you can look at sofasantarosa.com. That's sofasantarosa.com. And on there is a link to the Facebook event page for Winter Blast so that people can find out everything about Winter Blast this year.
Well, and to let everybody know that we will have all that information on Women's Spaces, which is www.womenspaces.com. Well, Chiquina, we've come to the end of the segment. Any last words, anything that you'd like to say before we say goodbye?
Yes, I want to say something that you said, which is November is the month of gratitude, you know, and I think just giving gratitude for what we have, and let's focus on that, you know, really. And there's a lot we could be focusing on in the despair end, but let's focus on what we are grateful for.
Right, and let's come on down to this wonderful Winter Blast and have some fun and smile and watch those sofas in that parade. I can't wait to see the sofa parade. I've never gotten down there early enough to see it, but now I know the times it's happening, and I definitely want to be there. Well, Chiquina Black, coordinator of the Peace and Justice Center here in Santa Rosa, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest here on Women's Spaces. And a reminder to the folks that are listening, Winter Blast will be happening this Saturday downtown at Peace and Justice Justice Center is where it starts on 487 Sebastopol Road in Santa Rosa. And remember, Sebastopol Road is by Juilliard Park, and it's not that difficult to find. Thank you so much, Yakina, and wishing you much success with this event.
Lane, I appreciate it. 467 Sebastopol Avenue. Yes, thank you, Elaine. I appreciate you.
You take care, my love.
You too. Peace.
Well, we're going to take a musical break. And the song I'm going to be playing is another song sung by Betsy Hobbs, and it's called Pale Moon. And the reason I chose this song is because, to be honest with you, this is kind of the way that I have been feeling lately. You know, one of the things, one of the lines in the song, which I think is very, is really kind of powerful. Let me just look, I'm just looking through my, I can't find it now. I'm looking through my work. One of the lines that I found particular for very, very, very powerful is when she talks about, you know, what is the meaning of life? What does all this mean that's going on? And this is written about a woman that lived in the 1700s and still asking this question. And what I found out from Becky Hobbs is a lot of her music that she's writing about is that it's very historical. That these are some of the things that Nancy Ward went through when she was alive. And this is all the way in the 1700s, a woman asking these questions. So let's go ahead and listen to Pale Moon, sung by Betsy Hobbs. And when we return, I'll be talking with Jennifer Sullivan, a lifelong feminist activist, and currently is the delegate to the Green Party of the United States for their Women's Caucus. I love the line, one planet, one people, one heart. Reminds me of the song that I played before that, when they said the white man's heart beats like ours. Why don't they understand? You know, we all are just human beings on this one planet, one people, one heart. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest on the phone with me, Jennifer Sullivan. Good. Hello, Jennifer. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hello, Elaine. Nice to be here.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time on this Veterans Day. And before we start, I would like to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Jennifer Sullivan is a lifelong feminist activist and currently is the delegate to the Green Party of the United States for their Women Caucus. She was born in the Chicago area and currently lives in Florida and has traveled to four continents and all but four of our United States. She was able to see the effects of climate change in African countries and Alaska. She also experienced people's politics in Cuba, Venezuela, and Oaxaca, and was amazed at the rail system in Europe. I was also amazed. We were in Germany, and I couldn't believe it. It was so intensely wonderful. Jennifer has hosted two seasons of a broadcast TV show in Tampa called On the Table with the Green Party and a radio debate show called The Fairness Doctrine on Tampa's WMNF-FM. She has served as a national delegate for the Green Party of Florida and also is a state co-chair. She is currently organizing a 2019 national lobby to get public funding only for all elections. Well, welcome, Jennifer. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Oh, no, I think it covers a lot. I mean, I just feel that Greens are a component of making our planet and country a better place, just like your song that you just played. So that's where, you know, that's where I belong and want to work for that goal.
No, isn't that a beautiful song? I mean, the way she asks the questions, what is the meaning of life? And I love that one thing, did we just happen by chance, or do we have some destiny? So it's amazing. Well, Jennifer, talk about how you got interested in politics and how you get the time to stay involved and why the Green Party.
Well, I got interested in politics very young. I just found myself being on the side of the justice. I always felt for the person that was left out, you know, or being picked on. And that just, as a child, and then it just grew. When I was a teenager, I was reading Ramparts magazine, and I was in I magazine, and I was getting involved in, you know, things like there was the Chicago, the Democratic Convention, and there was these things going on, so many things going on, and I found myself in a lot of the places where major things were either happening or I was finding out about them. And so in 68, it was for Eugene McCarthy for president, and then I was also for, George McGovern, and then, you know, that's when I Dem-exited, because I just felt like the Democrats weren't really speaking to, at least the leadership wasn't speaking to my values, and so I was independent for a long time, and in 96 I found the Green Party, and through Ralph Nader, who was one of the things I started doing was when I was in my late teens, we were working with Ralph Nader trying to get nuclear power out of the United States, and it wasn't real successful, but we were trying to draw attention that it was, you know, the best nuclear power plant is 93 million miles away, and we should be using solar and developing those technologies, which finally we see that's doing. But, you know, there's just been a lot of frustration in what's happening in our, you know, two-party system for me. And I just like to see it broadened.
Well, in the Democratic Party, there's what is known as the Progressive Democrats.
Right.
And I'm wondering how do they, as far as values go, how do the Progressive Democrats integrate, say, with the Greens? Is there a difference or is there a sameness?
Well, a lot of the things are the same. I'm friends with a lot of Progressive Democrats and also DSA. You know, the difference between us is we are definitely, Greens are not, I want to be clear, we're not the left wing of the Democratic Party. We're in our own entity, and we're in almost 100 countries in the world, in a nationwide party. The difference that we have probably is just the fact that sometimes I see the people, well, usually I see the people that are in Progressive Democrats or DSA, you know, especially DSA talks a lot of, you know, radical, and either they don't vote or they just go right back to the Democrats. And I think we just need to have more opportunities, more options for other parties, and not just the Green Party, but other voices, so we can broaden the scope of the dialogue. The Greens probably have a lot of the same views. We, you know, united in the world, we're united by four pillars: peace, democracy, social justice, and ecology. And, you know, I think that that may be where we agree with a lot of the parties, other parties, but, you know, I see that there's too much compromise, and compromise itself isn't a bad thing. Greens believe in fair diplomacy. However, what we see in the United States and in many other places in the world is being compromised too much, compliance or complete capitulation. And so I think that Greens are a party of common sense and good conscience. And so, you know, the difference, a big difference is that we don't take, you know, money like from dark sources or PAC, special interest PAC funds, or corporate money. So that's probably one of the biggest differences. I think that overall our platforms are probably similar in a lot of ways. I think that we're to the left of the Democrats, though. But I know that there's a lot of really nice people that are Democrats, well-intentioned, well-informed, and they identify as Democrats, but they're kind of, I don't know if this is coming from the, you know, animosity comes from the leadership, the DNC, but they get dismissive, have a dismissive attitude towards us, or distrustfulness of us. And
well, you know what I think it is on some levels. I think on some levels is if you start. I remember when I looked at the 10 principles of the Green Party, and I went, mm-hmm. "Wow!" I said, "Oh
the
my
key
goodness,
values?
Yeah, the 10 values." Mm-hmm. And I think that most people don't want to talk about it because on some levels you have to face the reality of what you have and what you don't have. And I think that's pretty blatant on so many levels. You know, the next thing I'd like to talk a little bit about is that you are currently a delegate for the National Women's Caucus for the Green mm-hmm. Party. Can you talk a little bit, what is that about and why do you think it's important? You know, we used to have a caucus here in Sonoma County, but somehow it disbanded. But I'm wondering, talk a little bit about it, and why do you think women's caucuses are important? And you know, right now we had 100 women coming into the House, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering, you know, I have to scratch my head. I'm praying because there's so much diversity that there is going to be some changes. But talk about the women's caucus.
Sure. I mean, I really hope that there will be some changes, and I am excited about the women being elected. And the women's caucus, we're there to support women's issues and each individual woman in the party. And, I mean, we're all human beings, and there's old habits that, you know, sometimes people don't even realize they may have, and we're there to keep discrimination from women. You know, we're there to keep women and hold them up and support them and, you know, encourage them to run for office. And we did have a lot of women running for office. And I think that, very strongly, I think that women will change the paradigm in D.C., and I'm hoping that this will make a difference. There's very progressive women that did get elected, and yet, I mean, I'm always baffled that there's Republican women, but I guess they have a reason to, they like the protection. I don't know. It's a kind of a unified thinking, and I think that's probably one of the big things that men, as a rule, have a straightforward, unified way of thought, whereas women see more sides of the issue. And, you know, like the men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Well, you know, and also that women have a more, like Venus, more loving, whereas, you know, men are more competitive. And it's not to say I certainly know competitive women. You know, get me in a soccer field and I'm competitive with my team. but the idea is that I think women bring something like a little bit more understanding.
Well,
and so that's where we're going to probably see some changes, hopefully.
Well, my hope is, you know, after what I saw happen with Susan Collins and the vote that she took with the Kavanaugh thing, I mean, I felt, you know, being an activist myself from all the years that I've been involved with women and women's activism, and all of a sudden to have this happen, you know, it's all of a sudden I felt like I had this thump, like all of a sudden, like, what the hell have I been working so hard for? Is this is right. what we got? And then all of a sudden what I realized is a friend of mine was saying that until we have at least 69% of women sitting at the table, it's going to be very difficult because there's so much pressure put on them as mm-hmm. individuals. But even so, it just feels, it somehow feels that as a woman, when you're, you know, and I think of also the Republican women that these so-called white women that they keep pointing out are voting for, you know, against their own needs, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, every child needs medical. Every child needs an education. I mean, you know, every child needs clean air.
That's part of life. You know, they support life.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. I also with all the stuff and all the films I've been seeing about some of the wars in Yemen and in Syria and in Afghanistan, I say to myself, where's the pro-life women? You know, why are they voting on this level? And yet when all these horrific things are happening to the children, they're not saying anything. So it's kind of a mystery to me. So I hope by having these new progressive women on, I hope that is going to change. Well, what
yeah,
do you think?
And also I would just say that like Lucy McBath, who she fought for, you know, getting gun control, and so her winning is really interesting because she's going to stand up to the NRA, and unfortunately that's kind of, we could get into the lobby whenever you're ready, but the lobby is going to be about the fact that there's a lot of special interests that influence our politics.
Well, talk a little bit about, you know, with the, even though the Green Party may not win excessively, they're still having an impact. What do you think that impact is? And what is some of your hope for the future? I mean, now that we have the House has been taken over, we have another election in 2020, and I'm still stunned of trying to figure out who they're going to run. And we have all these different things coming forward. What do you think the impact the Greens will have on today's politics, and what is your hope for the future?
Well, I do feel that the Greens have an impact. I've already seen it in certain areas, like when Howie Hawkins in New York was debating with Cuomo, and it was for the governor debate, and they actually had a Libertarian, a Green, a Democrat, and a Republican, all those candidates on in a TV debate. And it was great. And Cuomo was asked about fracking. He goes, well, I really don't have a lot of the facts. And Howie Hawkins broke in and said, well, I have some facts. And he started rattling them off. And lo and behold, there was pressure on Cuomo then. And lo and behold, after that, Cuomo banned fracking in New York. So I think that we do have a purpose. And if we are allowed in the debates, I don't know that we would take votes away so much as to push the other parties more, or, you know, like if the push the Democrats more to the left instead of, right now, if they're competing with the Republicans, they don't have to be too far to the progressive side, just more than the Republicans, and that's basically Republicans are becoming fascists, in my opinion. So, you know, I think it's a good to have a check and balance. That's why I think more voices, more choices is an important thing, and we've also seen that the Green New Deal is talked about. The Green New Deal did come from Greens. And, you know, it's important that it's out there, and people like to throw the word green around a lot, and we're doing green this, green that, so that's why it's important that we put Greens in the debates, because that way we will hear that point of view, and people can choose to agree with it, or at least know about it, or disagree with it, but at least they have the opportunity to know that it exists, and it, you know, it, 2016 elections, only four parties had the electoral votes to be in the debates, and one of them was the Greens and one was the Libertarians, and only the two parties were in a debate, whereas they had 14 Republicans debating in two different shifts, 7 and 1 and that were polling really low, and 7 and another. So I think the public, the American public, has a right to know that there are more parties out there. So, I mean, that's where we could contribute, because it is important to the world, too. Peace and democracy, social justice and ecology. I mean, we're not just about saving the planet, but it's certainly a major thing to do, because if we don't have a planet, there's no other planet that we know of that we can even get to, everyone,
right.
You know.
It's not as easy. It's not as easy as putting out your thumb and hitchhiking across the country, you know.
Which to get I used to do.
You know, before
kind of
we end,
traveling.
Before we end, I want to talk just a little bit about this. You're currently organizing a 2019 national lobby to get public funding only for all elections. Can you talk? Excuse me. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. It's actually a Facebook page. It's called The Greens Go to Washington for a People's Lobby. So if you want to go to Facebook and see that, it's also on our National Women's Caucus Facebook page. But there is more information on that. And what it is what it says. It's to get public funding only for all elections. And the amount of money would probably bring down our taxes, because it doesn't take that much to fund elections publicly. We already do it, as far as we all have to pay taxes to run the elections, but the public owns the airwaves, and just the giving these entities for profit all this money to run ads because somebody has all that money to spend, that's not really democracy. We should just let every candidate be on the air, say what they have to say, and keep it equal. Because back in the, my radio show was Fairness Doctrine, which was basically you had an editorial on the radio back in the day, and then there would be a rebuttal. There was always that choice of having rebuttal. And these days it sounds like, or what we're seeing is that people just say whatever they want to say, whether it's a lie or not. And after the election, if it was a lie, the other person can sue them, but they've already lost. You know, and it's just those kind of things aren't really something we should have in our politics. We need to clean them up. So the lobby would be to get special interest PAC money, corporate money, because corporations are not people, and any kind of dark money out of elections, and just have them publicly funded. There's actually a law in the books that says candidates should not take bribery money or any sort of gifts as elected officials. They just don't, you know, enforce that law very much. And that's, I mean, a lot of things that we have in this country is they're either enforced or they're not, and depending on who, you know, who they enforce them on. So it's just a matter of changing the paradigm in D.C.
You know what I find interesting is today that we have the internet. We also have community radio stations all across the country that we can't just, you know, when they need to take a vote, why we can't just get an email in our section and we all vote and let them know what we're thinking, or during election time that we don't use the community radio stations or the nonprofits to get the word out, that all this advertising and all these months of election, it's enough to drive you crazy.
Well, I think it runs really long. It runs longer than the other countries' elections. I mean, basically, our president's elections start the day after the election happens. So we start thinking about who's going to run in, you know, 2020. And it could be changed. It's just a matter of having the will to do it. It's asking a big task of the Democrats and Republicans and any independents that are elected to do this. But Greens are the party that can actually ask this, because we are the party that does not take that money. And so, therefore, it does hurt our candidates, because we don't have this, you know, we have to just get small donations and volunteers to do everything. And that makes it a lot more difficult to get elected. But other parties could do that too. I mean, if they wanted to be fair and really present the best candidate for the job and the person that would be the people's choice, it's only fair to have qualified candidates all say like they're on the same flyer that you get in the mail. I saw so many nasty flyers. A lot of them had like these buzzwords on them, you know.
They really say nothing.
Well, a lot of times they say nothing, or they say something that's absolutely false. We have a Tampa Bay Times newspaper, and they were talking about Governor Rick Scott and his ads, and they said that they do PolitiFact, and they said everything that he said in his ads was mostly false. He portrayed himself as the environmental saving the coastline from drilling, when really it was Bill Nelson. And you know, I'm not a huge Bill Nelson fan, but I will say this: he's always stop the drilling. And he's always used his power in D.C. to stop drilling on our Gulf Coast. And people that live here seemingly forget that we had that Gulf oil spill, and that was a nightmare. We're still getting repercussions from that.
Well, people have short memories. Well, Jennifer, I hate to interrupt you, but I'm going to have to. We're coming to the end of our segment here, so I'd like to know if you have any websites, any way they can get a hold of you, any information you'd like folks to know.
Well, you could contact me through nwc@gp.org, and if you wanted to get in touch with me about it doesn't have to be Green Party members necessarily, anyone that's interested in public funding for elections. And then also, we do have that Facebook page for the National Women's Caucus, the Green Party National Women's Caucus. And Greens go to Washington for a People's Lobby. If you go to any of those sites, you can find out more about the lobby and get in touch with me. And I am on Facebook. I'm a Green Giving. I'm sitting on a camel in the Sahara Desert giving a peace sign. So... basically that's it.
Well, Jennifer, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces and for doing the work that you're doing and for giving us all the information. You know, the most important thing is that people understand. They don't necessarily have to belong. They don't have to join. They don't have to do any of that stuff. But it's good to know what is out there. So thank you so much. I was just talking to Jennifer Sullivan, who's a lifelong feminist activist and currently is the delegate to the Green Party of the United States for the Women's Caucus, and also working on a program right now that she hopes to have in place in 2019, a national lobby to get public funding for all elections, which sounds pretty exciting to me. Anyway, a special thank you to Shekinah Black, coordinator of the Peace and Justice Center, and Jennifer Sullivan, feminist and member of the Green Party. Reminder, please tell your friends Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. this evening. I'm so excited I get to listen to my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements, and if you have any announcements you'd like to have on the air, like, for example, a birthday or an anniversary, email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. And remember, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And also, it is very important that you support your community radio station. Go to www.kbbf.org and look over on the right hand side of the screen, and you'll see donations, and it's real simple. We love to have sustainers. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holt, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 12th, 2018.